Continue on chapter 4, section 3 of Chelek Aleph. Okay, Chelek Aleph, Perek Dalet, Ot Gimel. So last we spoke, we talked about this idea of course, Kadosh Baruch Hu placing us in this world in order to allow us to improve ourselves, to refine ourselves, to perfect ourselves. We really don't need that, as you will see today. As you will see today, we really, really don't need that. Okay. And of course, we spoke about up to this point the two places that we could be before the sin and after the sin, the waiting place, as it were called, for the souls after we die. And just to review very briefly, by necessity, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us in such a way that we perfect ourselves in this world. Okay, then our souls have to leave the body, and the body returns to the earth. The souls perfect themselves, or the souls are as perfected as they can be. They wait in the spiritual place until they can return, merge back together after the world is destroyed and recreated. Right? There's an exciting thought for you. Okay? And then our souls can perfect our bodies and we can achieve completion. I see you're all riveted by this. Okay. So now, where are we going to go on? Makome, it's going to get a little more practical pretty much now. In a little bit.
It's a good idea.
I didn't write it, I just read it. Makome Shubito. What? What page?
62.
62. The place where we are, this place, is dark and is of chomer, of matter, physicality. And all of our existence is a physical existence. Our existence, everything that we deal or engage in, is physical and tangible. Why? Everybody is physical and tangible. You know, it's like, but it's almost frustrating in a sense. So he says, what's our goal? To cling to Hashem. What is God? Spiritual.
But we're surrounded with physical.
We didn't do it. He did it, but he put us in this physical world. And you have to like, so everything, basically everything you do all the time is like, you know, not real. Okay. Utchunato shel adam atzmo, and the aspect of man himself. Kavat chalakav, and his construction. They compel this idea. Ki afshar lo miuli achila ushpia ushar kol ha'inyanim ativim. It's impossible to without eating, drinking, without all your physical needs to be taken care of. The afshar lo mibni hon. You can't live without. Money. Yeah, but it's a
capital.
That's the word I was looking for. Bekinyan shuchal asik tochavelu minimsa shebe mitzal gufo shalom be mitzal olamo be mitzal disko. His body, his world, his business. Hu tavua b'chomer u'mushka b'shalchoshro. You are stuck. You are mired in physicality. How do you remove yourself from this situation? How do you elevate yourself out of this situation? How do we spend most of our time? The vast majority of our time. Running after
money, food, and water, frisbee.
Probably should be frisbee. Running after whatever we run after. When I was deciding what to be, I originally wanted to become a computer programmer. And so I went to YU and I was doing computer programming. And this reminded me.
I realized there was no money, so I went to the rabbinate.
No, so there was this guy. It's really funny. There's this guy. I've told this story before. Some of you might know. Pretty nice guy. His name is Avi Shmidman. Anybody know Avi Shmidman? No, Dr. Avi Shmidman. He was in the Gush. And so we used to run every now and then at the YU like gym. Have you ever been into the YU gym? It's not a very big running track. We used to run. So, I'm sorry. We used to run. And so we would schmooze when we would run. And, you know, like, I won't say I'm great at computer programming, but it was okay. You know, I liked it. I enjoyed it. He would, like, tell me, you know, like, last night I was like, I decided I'm going to program a Hebrew English word processor, like, from scratch. You know, like, I don't know, does that sound like an easy thing to do? So he would spend all night, like, programming. And then I realized then and there, like, this guy loves programming. I don't really love programming. I mean, it's okay. It's like, well, I'm going to spend the rest of my life doing this thing that I really love. What I really love doing. So it just so happens at that time, since I was in Smicha or I was in Coca-Cola or something, I don't remember what I was in. So we were learning, we did this learning program at night. I would go to Scarsdale and I had to learn Gemara with three women. I had this chavrusa with these three women. It was great. I loved it. And I said to myself, wow, I could do something that I really love. Just so happens that women, it didn't matter. Okay. Oh, the cup's no good? If I could do something I really love, shouldn't I do that? And yeah, you know what I'm saying? And if you could earn your livelihood doing rochlius, to whatever degree you could, shouldn't you do that? Because otherwise you spend the rest of your life engaged in this pursuit of the chomer. Then I moved to Israel and now I spend my life engaged in the chomer. Okay, but I think that's the conundrum that he says we're in, to be honest with you. Like, that's the challenge. Because Rahu put us in a world where he forces us to run after this chomer. We need it. But do we need it to the extent that we think we need it? I don't know. You know what I'm saying? It's all the question of what we think we need. I have cousins who live in Beit El, and they have no cars. You know what I'm saying? So anytime they want to go somewhere, it takes them 2 hours. Could we live without a car? Could you work less and not have a car? In theory, I could. But I'm not willing to do that. You understand what I'm saying? So this is part of the battle. To what degree do I need the chomer that I need? And then the fact that I think I need more chomer or I need X amount of chomer makes me work that much harder. And of course, if I didn't have a car, would I spend my time learning and in spiritual pursuits or just watching reruns of Star Trek? From the God's deep wisdom, he still arranged in such a way that even though you are mired in the chomer, in the physicality, as he wrote, yuchal mitoch ha-chomer atzmo ve-ha-eseg ha-gufani hisig et ha-shleimut v'hidalut al-zoch ve'al hamala. He says, but you can acquire through the chomer, God in his ultimate wisdom, he created the world in such a way that you can, through the chomer, through the physicality, achieve your purity. And Aaron referred to this a couple weeks ago. I didn't want to get ahead of it, so I kind of cut him off, but and moreover, the exact opposite is true. Hashpalato tihiyeh hagbahato. Right? His degradation will bring about his exaltation. And from that low level, that low place, he'll achieve this greatness. When he transforms the darkness into light and the death into light. How do you do this? Was there? Or how do you translate physicality and depth and muck and mire into light? I tell you. God set limits. God limited the amount that you can benefit from the world. And the intentions that you have through them. That a person uses them. Otama gvulot. So through those boundaries, ubeotama sedarim, and those formations, those orders, ubeotah kavanah shesivah kadosh barit baruch shemo, and if you have the intention that God created, that God commanded, yeoto pal hagufani v'achomri atzmo po'al shleimut. You can transform a physical act into an act of shleimut. Ubo yitatzem adam mitziut shleima u'ma'ala rabba. And through that act, a person can achieve great shleimut, ya'ale bo mimatzav ha'shafal. Right, so it could be we're stuffing our face with, I don't even know what these are. Potato puffs?
And the bun.
With, I don't even know what they are.
Awesome.
Right? Couldn't tell you what they are. They're potato puffs. We're stuffing our face with potato puffs. Okay? Is it a mitzvah for us to stuff our faces with potato puffs?
Probably derabanan, not deraisa.
Probably derabanan, not a deraisa. Is it?
Only to the extent that you need to listen to the show.
That whole comment is like interesting. The extent that you need it to listen to this year. Do we need potato puffs to listen to this year, really? Yeah, I mean, it helps people come. Definitely helps. I did this Beit Midrash program in Oak Park. And rule number one was there's always refreshments and always good coffee. And I made the coffee. Why? Because if you were tired, and yeah, I don't know if I'm going to go, and whatever, but you knew there was at least a decent cup of coffee, that's always rule number one. That's true, isn't it? What? We're not going to be in next year. But okay. Even though I'm saying. Nothing like a real cup of coffee. And None of that instant garbage, too. You know what I'm saying? It was like, if you're going to do it, you might as well... What? Don't do it. Don't do it. Now, what if we were on Lel Pesach? Instead of stuffing our face with potato puffs, we're stuffing our face with matzah. So, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu declared that that's what's best for us, that's what he wants us to do. Now, you're just eating bread. That's all you're doing. You're eating bread. But somehow, the act of eating bread, stuffing your face on that night, and literally, if you think about it, you're stuffing your face, the amount of matzah you eat. Like, somebody in the right mind wouldn't eat that much matzah, and then they're coming, you know? Even if you only have one matzah, you eat one matzah, you know, a whole matzah in 7 minutes, come on. Right? But that somehow, because we are following the mitzvot of Hashem, we're now transforming our physicality into a spirituality, into a force for purity, instead of dragging us down. Okay? Now, before I got here, I stuffed my face with some. I had more cookies than I probably should have. Is that a mitzvah?
Not a chip.
There were no chips. But that was what was available.
Then it's not there.
What? Then it's not there. Right. Is that a mitzvah? Is it an Avera?
Did you say a bracha?
I did say a bracha.
Did you appreciate Hashem's role in providing?
I probably said the bracha more perfunctorily than I should have and didn't think about God at all. But I did say a bracha.
Did you enjoy the cooking?
They were good.
Did it make it easier for you to give the shame?
No. A little harder, actually.
Should have had a steak.
What?
Should have had a
steak. You eat an offer. you understand what I'm saying? Meaning, in that prism, though, the ideal is to look at our physicality as in exactly that question. That's the question. Is this act going to make me closer to God or not? I could very well be. You guys are all going to go play Ultimate Frisbee. Is that act going to bring you closer to God?
Yes.
I agree 100%.
Why? Because
we don't fight. Well, I can't help that. That's not, that, you know. My running, without a doubt, brings me closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Why? It calms me down. It gives me more energy. It makes me, you know, a happier person. My wife can deal with me better. That's why, you know, like, without a doubt. That's a physical activity. And I view it as such. Because sometimes you don't really want to do it. You do it anyway. You know what I'm saying? But the cookies? Even if the bracha was a good bracha. Okay? Vasara, he says, one second. Here we are. Here we are. V'ulam. Hishkifa ha-chachma al-yona al-kol ha-sidru klalei ha-chasonot ha-mot ba'im yana shal adam. That's where I am. Did I skip or am I in the right place? I'm in the middle of Dalet? Yes. Okay, right. The great exalted hashkafa al-yona, exalted view, look down on the chasronot, those shortcomings or lackings that are in a person, in mankind. And all the things that he needs to cling to be cling to God, Barach. Meaning, God looked at humankind and said, I created you as X. In order to reach your completion, you need to do X, Y, and Z, and you need not to do A, B, and C.
Why isn't it an avera to have cookies?
What?
Why isn't it then an avera to have cookies?
Asher b'sham. Who says it's not?
That's me.
What? Who says it's not? Define avera.
I don't know if I want an answer to the question.
Yeah, really, exactly. Meaning, there are certain acts that you're not going to find in the Taryag Mitzvot or in the Din Rabbanan, but the question is it helping you achieve Shleimut or not achieve Shleimut? Or, let's ask a better question, are you doing it because you're submitting to your ta'ava, ha-chumri, your physical desire, or are you doing it in order to achieve Shleimut, to have the energy to devote yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I think generally the cookies in all and every instance, if, unless it's on Shabbos and it's L'chvod Shabbos Kodesh, you know, if you know, there's the Rosh Kolel.
Shalom.
Yeah, right. The Rosh Kolel of the YU Kolel, his name is Rav David Miller. So once I was at his house for Shabbos, and he really did. He would say, take the L'chvod Shabbos Kodesh. He really did it, but he really did it. You know what I'm saying? And we're like, yeah, whatever. Okay, you know, you have to be on a certain level. You have to.
If you look at like the Golem. Like whatever,
right.
Whoever,
true gadolim.
Like they don't eat junk.
They eat the apple for the bracha. They don't eat the or whatever.
Right, whatever. They also don't run.
They don't run.
They don't like do
100%.
Like but they're, say, like,
they're the Torah, on a level where
the
they
Torah
don't...
is like machlish and like, you know, like.
How do you know? Maybe Rav Shach did go jogging and he just did it in his private and on his treadmill. My old Rosh Hashiva.
Learns the moment he starts dancing and he goes home and he learns again and it's with
but dancing.
Now let me tell you. Right. He's talking about physical exercise. My Rav, Rabbi Inamur Zatzal, at a certain point his doctor said, you got to exercise. So he would say, it was the funniest thing in the world. He had this Walkman, like, he could have, you ever Rabbi Inamur? Like, with a long beard, he would walk on Sligo Creek Park with his Walkman, listening to whatever shiur, and he would go walking.
I'm listening to a shiur.
Whatever, right, you know what I'm saying? But you would see him every now and then, and it was like very strange, you know, the rabbi walking, you know, but you have to exercise, I believe.
Why am I walking?
No, that's not his thing. Anyway, okay. Asher b'shamer otam, if you keep these things, then you will achieve all of this great exalted level. Meaning, you have the cookies aser. Right? It's not a question, like, okay, there's klalim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us rules and principles, and there are basic rules. But it's more subtle than that. Like, once you know what you're doing the rules, then the question becomes finer. Is this potato puff going to get you close to the Ribbono Shel Olam or not?
No.
Right, that's what he said before you got here. And the answer was no. I mean, but that doesn't mean it's, you know what I'm saying? It's not us or to eat the potato puff. But is it going to get you close to the Ribbono Shel Olam? Is it achieve your aim? It depends on what level you're at. You know, so for some of us, we need the potato puff to get us here. Okay? I like the chips. But you know what I'm saying? You notice that? The chips always get first. I'm just saying. Okay. What?
Sorry.
It's okay. It's great. No, don't. We don't need money. Believe me. If a person was, if it wasn't decreed that we would die, remember we said, right? In reality, the way the world was designed, the neshama should strengthen and purify the guf. The choshech haguf mitchalesh. And the darkness of the goof would weaken. But often Shayam is dakek ayadaz vikutam where it would purify purity. And then we would all become closer to God. Somehow, our neshama should affect our goof. When you make the right choices, we just went on Yom Kippur. You know, like, I read a quote that the Rav always felt, Rav Soloveitchik Tzatzal always felt, he said he looked forward to Yom Kippur in a sense. That it was an opportunity for him to achieve a level of spirituality. I really focused on that. Like when I got to Mincha and Ni'ilah, instead of thinking about how, you know, how tired I was, and I was at Baruch Hashem, I felt okay, it was really fine. I started thinking about how, like, you, once a year you get to daven in a certain way that you don't daven any other time the rest of the year.
Rav Segal, the Master at Yeshiva, said before Ni'ilah, he said, how do you know what the score is? It's like, it's frustrating, you don't know where you're standing. He's like, you know, 10 more yards or nothing. So he said that, he said that the way you can test yourself is, if someone said to you, it's mutter to eat now, would you go and eat or would you have them in the ila?
Okay. You understand what I'm saying, though? Meaning that
that's basically what you're saying.
Yeah.
Right? But I'm saying most people would choose to daven in the ila.
I hope they would. I mean, it's a question. It depends how you feel. You know what I'm saying? But the idea being that at that point, right, the neshama, if in before the cheder baram arishon, the neshama would purify the guf, like exactly like that. You wouldn't want to eat. You wouldn't need to eat because you're on a spiritual level. But because of the decree, it can't happen that way. Mitchazeket haneshama ba'atzma. The neshama grows stronger. V'aguf mizdakech b'koach. Af api she'eno nase b'foal. And if we think about it, there's a truth to this. You can train yourself. I mean, really, like a person who is not religious at all. You tell them, don't eat on Yom Kippur. It's the hardest thing in the world. It's very, very hard. They're starving. How could you do it? I want to eat. I'm thinking about food the whole time. You know what I'm saying? But over time, you grow accustomed. You have a certain tava. A person has a certain tava. You can, by negating it, you can grow to the certain point where that tava doesn't affect you anymore.
There's no question that like Yom Kippur is much easier path.
What? Correct. Yeah, I mean, like, you don't have a time. I never had a time before. I never did. I don't have a desire. I'm sure it tastes great. I have no desire for it. It doesn't affect me. You know, you can.
I
never had it.
Fine-tuning taste bud thing. You couldn't even necessarily connect. But saying that someone, I mean, it was horrible yesterday. Like you say you wanted Zavon, I would have run home at 11 o'clock. I was like, it was just a whole, it's my worst one ever.
You have twins.
Right?
How much coffee you drink per day?
Right. I didn't drink any coffee for like a day or two before. So like, whatever. Anyway.
I use a different sheet though. So I think it's since I drink coffee every day, except for one day a week. So I just drink up, you know, every day and I skip that one day and it works. You know what I'm saying?
Right, but it's not on a level of something as crass as meat and milk. Or right. Saying enjoy this or don't enjoy this and put cottage broccoli into what you're eating or whatever else.
But you think that you can achieve a point to which, at which, you know, something I used to struggle with is not my struggle right now. I used to struggle with X. And now I'm struggling with why. Of course, there's always something else. There's always a next level, but it's a higher level.
Right,
it's a finer struggle.
It's talking about the worth of someone enjoys this over crisps or chips or whatever it is.
Right.
Like, I don't understand why we have such a crass discussion, and then it's connected to some deep spiritual growth level. I'm trying to, it's like, either I've been lost in the last 2 minutes, or I'm trying to...
Is Yom Kippur an easier fast than, let's say, Shivas or Bhutanas? No, I mean, is it less, like, I don't know, I was finding...
You're saying that worth it, like, yes, but like, understanding is you don't want to eat.
No.
You're at such a level,
you're focused
can't
else.
Eat, don't you?
No, you can,
how
you
would
can.
You physically no.
You can eat any, I mean, like, Shiva Sabatama says, like, no, it's very hard to connect, because, like, you know, I think that's like, they broke the walls and whatever, it's like a long fast. So you're, like, hungry, and you're only thinking about, like, whether and when you can break the fast. At least for part of the time in Yom Kippur, you're thinking about other things, you know, and so you're.
What I'm trying to say, forget the crisps. You know what I'm saying? What I'm trying to say is that at a certain point, like when you struggle with a certain desire, a certain physical trait, right, and you're able to overcome it, right, then that it's you're able to come to a point where that's not a challenge. That trait isn't a challenge for you. Correct? That desire, that yearning, that need, or that whatever it is. So in a sense, all I'm trying to demonstrate is so you can see that a person has the ability to grow spiritually.
Why is that a one-to-one correlation between that and spiritual growth? Because we said earlier in the Sefer,
yes,
that there are people who do overcome particular physical desires, but they attribute that towards their own perfection or the perfection of the intellect, but it has nothing to do with spiritual growth.
100%. No, didn't we say the Sefer is... What is the definition of spirituality? Is that is the seichel, the idea of?
No, you're saying that there was
no. You're saying that like if there's like someone who says like I don't need to, like I'm like someone who's like dieting and is thin and like he's not spiritual at all. He's just in control of his body. You know?
Yeah,
so he doesn't need to eat crisps.
Along those lines. So there's no direct correlation between.
I would disagree with that.
But he said it earlier.
What
in the
do
book.
You mean?
But what about someone who's, let's say, what's someone who's like,
I'll agree with
who's
you.
Like a marathoner or whatever, and very thin,
yes,
and like in totally. In
That's not his nisayon.
No.
Halavai, I hate you skinny people who can eat anything you want and don't ever
fat.
Get
fat. Let's say the guy was fat.
Oh, I had like
and
four
the guy was fat
today.
And he like overcame his weight issue and now he's thin and
yes.
And it's not an issue for him because he's overcome that, but he doesn't have any connection to God.
One second. The fact that he has learned that level of self-control is a spiritual achievement.
He's more blameless.
Yeah, in that way. Sure, without a doubt. But he's not connecting it to anything, to any
higher being.
Right, any higher level.
Does
okay.
What you just read connect with the fact that maybe that's why people get old? Towards the end of their life?
I think they get old towards the end of their life.
Because they get old.
Right.
No, but we,
you asked for that, I'm sorry.
No, but people didn't always get old. Like, they say, like, Yaakov was the first one.
Oh, why? Because Yaakov made people get old?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
Look, I mean, it says, I hear, like,
no,
as,
I don't reach
as,
out enough.
As the body gets weaker, you tend to see that, you know, like, old men go to shul. Maybe they have nothing else to do, but, you know, like.
Old men go to shul because they wake up early.
Whatever. The body gets weaker. The body can't sleep.
They wake up at 5:30 in the morning. Then they get a cup of coffee. They read the paper.
And then they're bored.
Yeah.
No, I understand that, but maybe that's still.
It's very rare, and I've seen it very rarely, the 37-year-old or the 45-year-old who says, you know what? I got to go to Minyan. And he never went to Minyan in his life, but he starts going to Minyan. That's much rarer. If you either, you're young and you went to Minyan your whole life and it's a value and you did it.
But that's what I'm saying.
You know what I'm saying? Like or you did it when you were retired because I went earlier.
As the body gets older and certain physical elements are less strong,
yeah.
Then maybe that's created in such a way to prepare people to become more in tune with their spirituality.
I don't know. Could be.
I'm just reading.
Maybe because you're no longer able to. Maybe. Could be.
I mean, you have less physical desire for all kinds of things.
Tell that to old people nowadays. Okay. Is that true?
I mean, you see it. You know, like I see.
I saw the thing in the page.
Yeah. The Elu high tag there. Wait, everybody. Okay, one second. Hey. Achasderim, did you find it?
I'm working on it.
Okay. Achasderim, you will find it because you'll get your man. Achasderim gvulot elu. He named klal mitzvot. So what are these limits, obviously? What are these rules? What are these qualifications and these things? Meaning God said, you know, I created you missing certain things. I created you missing certain things. And I created you with needing certain limitations in order to perfect yourself, which we can well understand. Okay? And what are these called, obviously? Hein, hinehen, klal ha, mitzvot. That's what we call mitzvot. Meaning you have to think of mitzvot now in those terms. I mean, instead of saying mitzvot, mitzvot are the things that God wants you to do, and avei are the things that God doesn't want you to do. No, think about it in a whole different category, a whole different plane. Mitzvot are the rules that God gave you to allow you to perfect yourself. Averot are the limitations that God gave you to prevent you from going beyond boundaries that are good for you. It's just it's the same thing, but a totally different way of looking at things. Okay? One second. The positives and the negatives. Asher kol achad mechuvenet el tachlit haknot ba'adam. Each one is directed or indicated at the tachlit, the goal of acquiring a person. V'ha'atzim bo achamim madrigot. Right, to give you one of these qualities, one of these eternal qualities that you're looking for. Or removing an aspect of darkness or something lacking in you. You're going to take a lulav. You're going to take the abraminim. The waving of the lulav, the taking of the lulav, is Akash Baruch Hu created, connected to something that's missing in us. I can't tell you what it is. No idea. Some of them are more obvious than others. Right? Don't commit adultery. I think we're going to figure out what that one's about. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay? But some of them are much, much, much more difficult to figure out. What in the world, what's the lacking in us? Some of, you know. Okay, Aide Paul HaMitzvah through that action, or Arminia Min HaLota say, V'ulam, nonetheless, Prat HaMitzvah Kulam, the specifics of each mitzvah, V'chein Pirtei Kol Mitzvah HaMitzvah, Hinei, behold, Hei Miyusadim Ala Mitat Mitziuto. They are based on the truth of God's existence, i.e., right, the guy who built the machine, he wrote the manual. And he's going to tell you its proper care and, you know, feeding. And he tells you, listen, I made it. This is what's good for it. This is what's good for you. This is what's bad for you. I promise you, if you believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created you, then you also believe that the rules he gave you are for your benefit. And if you don't, then you wouldn't.
It's the same. Yeah. I mean, there are some things that we learn that, like, we do this just because Hashem said to. There's no reason.
Correct.
And we're not meant to understand the reason.
One second. But that does not contradict those saying, that's good, but why did Hashem say to?
It's good for you.
Right. How's it good for you?
Don't know.
Right. Is there, you have a problem saying that?
No.
Right. Well, we did, like,
just a manual. So
for example. I was listening to This American Life once.
Tactical writer.
I was listening to This American Life once. And this guy was telling about how, you ever listened to This American Life?
Yes.
It's a good part, but good podcast. So he was telling about how summer.
That's what bothers me.
What?
This guy's gay. He's like a Jewish gay guy.
Okay. And Paul McCartney married a Jew. A little bit. Okay. It was one summer, his mother forced him to take a typing course. He hated the typing course. Whoever the guy, he couldn't stand it. But his mother, for whatever reason, forced him to go back and forced him to take typing. And he said, you know, like, it just so happened that 20 years later, he became a writer. And this whole day he spends in front of a, you know, like, you ever work with somebody in computers, Ari, who doesn't know how to type? You don't? It's this lady in my office. She's like, she's on the web all the time. She's sitting there with, like one finger. It's unbelievable to me. You know what I'm saying? You have to, this is your thing. You have to know. It's like, could you imagine like a mechanic only with one wrench? You know what I'm saying? And like, you got to make it work. You know. Exactly. Then she just knows where everything is with one finger. You know what I'm saying? But so he looked back and he realized the wisdom of his mother forcing him to learn how to type. But at the time, if you'd ask him, how's the typing going? I hate it. If you could quit typing right now, would you? I would have quit yesterday. But now, later on, he realizes the wisdom. So in Echad Ha'amim, there are a lot of things that Kadosh Baruch Hu tells us to do that we don't want, or that we find troubling, or we find challenging. Nonetheless, you trust that the person, that the being who created you, created the proper limitations.
That's
okay?
A big step, by the way.
Have that trust?
Yeah,
I agree.
Okay. I read less.
Why?
That's what I said.
Right, I didn't hear his name. Okay. I'll try to hear his name.
That's
Iron Glass.
Thank you, Dan.
Isn't that the starting point?
What?
Isn't that the starting point?
What do you mean?
No.
So what's the starting point?
What do you mean is that the starting point?
In the beginning of the Amunah.
I don't understand what you mean by that question.
What he's saying is, either you're like as one of my rabbis used to say, either you're across the bridge, or either you go across the bridge, or you don't go across the bridge.
No, I don't know if I agree with you. I think that it's easy to look back and say, yeah, that's obvious, but it's much harder to translate the obvious into action. You understand what I'm saying? Yes. Do I intellectually believe that the mitzvah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me for my benefit? I do. But does that translate? And therefore, obviously, I'm going to do everything. You have a car, correct? They give you a manual. Do you follow to the letter of the law when they tell you to change the oil?
Of course.
You do?
Yes.
You, I know, do. Okay, that's in your personality. You should. You're supposed to. Do I?
You do when you
can't say
you
that
do
I do.
When you respect the person, you think they're right.
No, you do when you're under warranty and it's going to cost you money.
That's it.
Right? Okay. What if it wasn't your car?
It costs you more if you don't do it.
See?
Oh.
What?
It won't cost you more if you don't do it.
Or you don't do it because it's a scam.
So why do you not feel the same way about mitzvahs?
Or you're lazy.
But who said you don't?
It's going to cost you more later.
You know you're not supposed to eat any of the chips in the bowl, but you eat them anyway.
You're really not, and you do anyway.
Because some things are more obvious.
No, I mean the chips are very obvious. If you had to answer,
I don't think they're so obvious.
If you had to take a quiz,
the level, but on my spiritual level, the chips are not my biggest problem today.
That's not what I'm saying. But if someone had to ask you, are chips good? Are chips good for you or not?
No, I don't want to. Let's leave the chips.
Fine, forget about the chips. So I mean, but any other question? Any other like?
You're saying, isn't it obvious? Isn't that the starting point? No, I don't think that's the starting point. You really think that's the starting point? People think The problem is, I think this comes back to the cookies that I ate. You asked me, was it a spiritual experience? I made a bracha. But did I think about God when I ate those cookies?
Yeah.
I was learning this book, and I did not think about God when I ate those cookies. So you ask yourself,
but would
when
you have
before,
a minute
when you put
not
on
make
spilling,
a bracha when you eat the
no,
cookies?
Because it's,
would you have a
half
a
because
minute
I've been
not in, to
because
that?
I've been indoctrinated to say a bracha.
Okay,
that's
good, so that's
indoctrinated. It's positive.
So far, so that's your start.
When I put on tefillin this morning, did I think I'm putting on tefillin? Because the Ribbono Shel Olam knows that these things are good for me. They complete me. No, I didn't. Now, I'm supposed to think that. You're supposed to try to think that. But it's not obvious. It's the most obvious thing that we forget all the time.
You're saying if I had to think about something and I wanted to, if I decide to do it, it's because I believe that. If you make a conscious decision to do a mitzvah, it's because you believe.
No,
it.
I'm not saying that.
Okay.
I'm saying, take the tefillin example, because it's much better than the cookie example.
Right.
You do it routinely because you just do it.
Correct.
But if you'd stop and think, am I brave enough to stop doing this?
No. Well, I don't think that. Am I brave enough to stop doing it? Why would I stop doing it? If I stopped to think, why am I doing this, I would say...
Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu told me to do it, because I believe in the...
Because
moment
no,
me that that's the right thing to do.
Correct.
And that's why
so
I do it.
Correct.
So that's it.
To put it on in the morning and then rush off 20 minutes later.
Fine.
You have to have specific kavana to put it on. Otherwise, the shaila is whether you've even fulfilled the mitzvah.
No, but you have specific kavana to put it on. You have kavana to fulfill the mitzvah. You don't. You might not have the ideal kavana. You clearly have kavana to
just
do it for the mitzvah.
Just putting it on in a drunken, exhausting stupor in the morning.
I don't
rushing
know.
Rushing for 15, 20 minutes and rushing out the door.
No, I don't even think better than nothing. Totally, that's you are fulfilling the mitzvah. You're not doing it stam. You're not doing it You're not, it's not like you're brushing your teeth. It's not you're but not the, brushing like your teeth. This. You do it to fulfill a mitzvah. Could you do it on a higher level? Should you think about the value of the mitzvah? Clearly. But you're still, without a doubt, fulfilling the mitzvah, and right, you're doing it for the right reason.
The reason I poked up in this conversation, isn't there a point of why are you doing it? Why not just stop? If you, there's not just a sum, I'm doing it.
I totally disagree with you. I think the kavana amplifies. The kavana amplifies.
That's on the level.
No, the kavana amplifies. Like, but don't you believe that that's Akash Baruch? God told you to do it. You do it in the morning by rote. But God told you to do it. Why did you do it by rote? Because God told you to do it. And you believe that what God says is good for you is the right thing to do. It has value. Of course it has value.
I don't enjoy it.
Of course it has value.
But then you go around the circles. What's why are you not doing it? Otherwise you intent. Send the you know it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, I thought one second. There's passive. One second. There's passive intent, and then there's active intent. Obviously, the best thing to do is to do the action with active intent. But it's very hard. We go through our daily lives to have active intent on everything we do. That's why Chazal created what we call. No, not in Michal. What do they call create? Hello? It's called a bracha, right? What did we in our infinite wisdom do? We ritualize the bracha. We say the bracha by rote, and the thing that they created to remind us not to do it by rote, we also do by rote. We're very good at that. So that's the battle, to not do that. Yeah.
Not only that, but there's something I was thinking about also when it comes in the context of tefillah, because I rarely daven marav with any proper intent whatsoever. For me, shachar might be one thing, for me it's marav. And I thought about it, and I thought, well, Myers are a shoot, why don't you just stop? And then I thought to myself, well, if I just stop, then you lose the framework. So there might be times when I will daven Myers with Kavanah, but if I have the framework already in place that says that I know that I'm davening Myers, at least it provides some context for me to be able to put some meaning onto it. But if I stopped it altogether, then you wouldn't do it at all. And you wouldn't have any frame. I mean, like, meaning has to have some framework to sit itself on, at least.
And you have to believe that that meaning will come.
But even if the meaning doesn't come, the action, etzem of the action, is good for you.
Right.
You but nothing.
That's the given of the discussion.
Okay. That's what
I just learned. Right. That's what
I'm
saying.
Trying to put some purpose into what's being said. That's all. It's just do it. It doesn't matter. Just do it. Even 15 minutes, whatever. I'm trying to still push through the. And it's coming.
No, but I think that's correct. I think that but you're trying to take it and bring it to a higher level. And your intent, as we will see in a little bit, has critical significance. I mean, the act is significant, and the kavana itself is also significant. Because remember, the point of the act, yes, because Baruch Hu gave it to you in order because it's good for you. But even more than that, the idea is to help you come closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So if you do something with the understanding and the intent that this is bringing you closer to God, then of course it's more meaningful. Of course it's more powerful. Of course it's better. It's not just, it's not like you took the pill and the pill doesn't really care, like my thyroid medicine this morning. It could care less if I want it, or I have kavana when I take it, and it should help me with my thought. It could care less.
There's a lot of
my theory. Go talk to the doctors. I don't know. You understand what I'm saying? But, Lahabdil, this is not that. It's not just do XYZ. It's not just doing XYZ, it's how you do XYZ. And that brings us back to our chips. You understand what I'm saying?
That's why Chazal gave us like little reminders. What? Like you're supposed to have kavana like the first pasuk of Shema, the first bracha of the Amidah.
You're supposed to have kavana for everything.
No, but
it's not impossible. It's not impossible. It's really, really hard. Right? It's what you build step by step. We're all working on it. Okay, so he says, "V'amnam chachmal yonash yodat zel amito." Okay, so this ultimate knowledge that knows this in the truth, yodat kol yinayim bruim kulam mishimusham kamo shibura atam. So he knows all of our functions as he created us. Be'emet hishkif al hakol. He looked at everything. Ve'kalalak kol mitzvah mitzvot shizivanam etaratel. And so everything that we need, right, was included in the mitzvah, in the Torah, in the mitzvot of the Torah. Kamo shekatuv. Right, it's all good for us. Why did Kadosh Baruch Hu give out these mitzvot? Because they are what we were lacking. Kadosh Baruch Hu, right? In a sense, like what's that phrase of Chazal? Right, he looked at the Torah and he created the world to correspond. He created mankind to correspond and said, okay, this is what the Torah says, X, Y, Z. I'm going to create a person that if he fulfills X, Y, and Z, he'll be shalem. He'll reach his completion. Shorish Konyan Avodahu, the root of all this avodah, Hayot Adam Pone Tamid the Baro. This is what we're going to talk about, what you're referring to, Daniel. That a person has to be focused on God. He has to understand and know. He was only created to cling to his creator. He was placed in the world to overcome his desires. And to subjugate himself to his creator with his intellect. The opposite of his earthly desires and his inclinations. And he will direct himself to achieve this goal. Here's where we get to the chips. Yeah, I mean, obviously, can I? Is it mutar? It is. You can. There's nothing wrong with having the chips.
He's not a chassid, is he?
What?
He's not a chassid, is he?
No, he's not much of a chassid. But, not anti-chassidus. I don't think it's anti necessarily. Remember, he says, through the physical you can achieve spiritual perfection. He's not negating the spirit, the physical.
He only said that in the context of being able to do hashpala for the physical to get to the context.
Correct.
It's a zero-sum game for him.
Meaning what? Say it more clearly.
To the extent that you push down your physical, you increase the spiritual.
Right.
It's a zero-sum game. It's not chassidus.
Right. I would probably agree. Uh-huh. You know, that's his perspective. You know, but the idea being then that the world, that our ability to overcome our desires, right, allows us to grow closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our ability to overcome the physicality. Remember, because this all stems from his whole theology. Right? The theology was Adam Rishon was really supposed to reach Gan Eden, and he sinned, and now we transformed. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu transformed us into these physical beings and placed us here and said, okay, now fight that. So if that's true, you understand what I'm saying? I mean, the Hasidus would have to, I'm very curious now that we think about it that way, how Hasidus looks at the purpose of creation before the Chayit, after the Chayit. You know what I'm saying? It all flows from his whole worldview. Okay, there's still more time? 5 more minutes? Good. Ah! This action is divided into two. Okay. One is what does he do because he's commanded. The second is, what does he do because he needs to? Pirush, meaning. Is that a phone ring? Ha'achad hu klal ma'ase ha'mitzvot. What is the mitzvot? Ha'sheni klal ma'ase adam ishtamesh mi'olam etzorcho. The second is, what does a person use from the word? This is what you're referring to about the not chassidus. Okay? Meaning. The mitzvot are clear what a person should do. Just fulfill the mitzvah. And do what God wants. Okay? And if he does the mitzvah, he fulfills God's will in two ways. You said God said he wants you to put on tefillin. A. So the fact that you did what God wanted you to do, very good. And the second thing, right? And through also, not only when you put on tefillin, did you do what God wanted you to do, you also fulfilled some lacking in you. Right? Whatever was missing in you by not putting on tefillin, you just put on tefillin, now you're not missing that thing. Good. And you've also fulfilled the will of God. But Masha Adam Ishtamesh Me'olam Metzorcho. But what a person uses from the world, and it's Sarich Tchilashia Mugbal Bigvul Ritzono Yidbarach Shemo. It has to be limited. A. It has to be limited to whatever God allows you. Dehayinu Shelo Yebidabar Mimasha Manova Sarakei Barach. Right? No lard in the chips. I'm pretty sure it has 82 hechsherim. It's got a badatz. It's a chatam sofer. And I'm sure the local rabbinate as well.
Actually, it's okay? Badatz Chatam Sofer.
Yeah, both? There's all
no,
one?
Chatam Sofer is a sug of badatz.
It's a sug of badatz. Okay. I don't need that. Okay. 1 second. There, he says, adds the second thing. V'shaloyia, this is where he gets a little complicated with the chips. V'shaloyia ela ha-ra'ui li-bri'ut ha-guf. And it should be only that which is necessary for his physical health. V'kiyum chiyuto al-tzad ha-yoter ha-tov. And it should sustain your life in the best possible way. And it's not just because you like it and it's unnecessary. V'yakavana bo liot haguf muchanu mezumal mishtamesh menu aneshama letzorach avodat baro. So what does God want? Yes, does he want you to have physical benefit? Of course. But he only wants you to need to want the things that you need physically in order to sustain life. So you could serve Hashem. Water? Perfect.
Bread?
Chips?
No.
Whole wheat bread only.
What?
Whole wheat bread.
Whole wheat bread only. Pat b'melach tocha. A little salt. That's hard. I'm going to finish the paragraph. U'kshi'adam mishtamesh min olam ha'derech hazeh. When a person who uses the world in this way, this use of the world is shleimut. You can achieve true fulfillment and wholeness and completion as if you did all the mitzvot when you don't eat the chips. When you only take from the world that which you only need in order to serve God. One second. This is also a mitzvah. Lishmor et gufeinu b'hachana haguna shenuchal la'avod b'vareinu. Right? To guard our bodies in an appropriate way to serve God. And we use the world only for this reason, in this way. And we elevate ourselves in this way. And the world also elevated. He helps mankind serve God, serve the Creator. That we're not so good at. Doing the mitzvot, we're very good at. We really are. The actual, brave the lulav, sit in the sukkah, great. Hey, but what, only use the world for exactly what you need to serve God and no more. Go earn only as much money as you need and no more to serve God. Right? Build a house only as big as you really need and no more. We're not so good at that today. We're quite bad at that today. Because what do you need? I define what I need more. But do I find, when I say the word need now, do I really mean what I need? Or do I really mean what I want?
So what's he saying with the mitzvahs we managed to control our...
The mitzvahs are the technical. If you really want to get down to the nitty-gritty of how to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you've got to learn to control what it is you consume.
Both in the mitzvahs and in the physical.
And they're both. He says there are two sides. One is, right, b'masha asa b'mei shetzuva, b'masha yaseh b'mei shu muchrach lo v'tzarich. And we're very good at focusing on A. But the second way of worshipping Hashem, of coming close to God, is much more intangible. It's very individual and very personal. And it's much harder. Some almost said it's easy. God says do X, Y, Z. Okay, I do X, Y, Z. Because I believe that that's what he wants me to do. It's okay, now control yourself. It's a little harder.
Well, we have all those things about Hiddur Mitzvah Gabbah, the fanciest etruk you can find.
And a Hanami. But it's a thing. You're right. But it's still an act. How about withdrawing and taking only that which you need?
Well, by the simplest etruk, you give the rest to tzedakah.
Is that what the seculars are all worried about right now? They're saying that you have too many houses and the cost of living is too high.
Libya doesn't have too many houses.
And well, that's what everyone in the street...
They're really complaining that they can't afford a house. Well, that's another issue. All right, no shear next week.